And what about the patient who's been on Suboxone for 2-3 years? How are you handling that situation?
Well, here we have two trials. We have the IES trial by Coombs et al., published in the New England Journal. That's a beautiful study, and it shows virtually a 5% absolute improvement in disease-free survival with the strategy of switching to 2.5 years of exemestane after completing approximately 2.5 years of tamoxifen. So a nice study, a very nice signal. In addition, there's the Italian trial, the ITA trial, which also shows quite a strong effect, although it's a smaller trial and it's not blinded. But these women were all node positive, and the signal you're getting there is quite striking. There's about half as many events in the women who were receiving anastrozole after switching as opposed to continuing on tamoxifen. So in aggregate, those two studies suggest that there's probably a strong disease-free survival advantage to switching after about 2.5 years of tamoxifen. Similarly, we have some data from a Canadian trial, the MA17 trial, where after 5 years of tamoxifen, women randomized to extended adjuvant therapy with letrozole are doing better. However, I'm also concerned about the fact that study was closed prematurely, and I'm disappointed that with 2.5 years of follow-up, we're not going to get any more meaningful survival data because the trial has been unblinded and women have been crossed over. So again, I'm a real believer in the importance of overall survival advantages to make definitive treatment recommendations. And to date, we have no convincing overall survival data from any of the adjuvant AI trials.
Getting back to the issue of an AI versus tamoxifen, either upfront or at 2 to 3 years, one of the things that you hear people like Aman Bazdar saying is that, you know, I can follow bone, I can see it coming, I can do bone mineral densities, I can use bisphosphonates, of course none of which were done in the ATTACC trial, but I can't predict who's going to get a stroke or a deep vein thrombosis. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would have to agree with Aman here. We've got a relative hierarchy of toxicities. And certainly having a stroke, having a deep venous thrombosis, those are major side effects. Certainly having a fracture is a major side effect. But on one hand, we have preventable complications with the aromatase enzyme inhibitor, or at least you can monitor and intervene, and we expect that to be successful. And with tamoxifen-treated patients, we have relatively unpredictable and poorly treatable conditions. Now, we still need formal proof that intervention with vitamin D and a bisphosphonate and calcium is going to be enough to preserve bone in terms of fracture rates. But we have pretty convincing evidence already that in terms of bone mineral density, certainly Zometa, given with anastrozole, is protecting bone quite nicely. And we have an ongoing trial called the SABRE study, which is exploring in the postmenopausal population the benefit of alendronate in Arimidex-receiving women. And it's a randomized study, so we'll get definitive evidence as to the bone protection capacity that oral convenient bisphosphonates will provide.
When you were talking about switching at 2 to 3 years, after you present this to patients again, roughly how many at this point are switching?
I would say it's about 50-50. What I've noticed is that once women have taken tamoxifen, and if they've made it to 2.5 years, they're almost feeling like they've got a tried and true option that seems to be working for them, because if they're out to 2.5 years, still on TAM, they're not having horrible side effects or serious side effects. So even though the disease-free survival data is very clean and very compelling from the Coombs study, to my surprise, women are not switching as frequently as I would have guessed.